IVM.
All right. Hello. Welcome to Football Portal. It's me and Yes. So Yes, what's up?
Hey man, all good, all good.
All right, man. Let's start. Let's get this show going on. Jude Bellingham, the player we love a lot.
Yes.
He plays for Borussia Dortmund. Uh-huh. They lost the Der Klassiker against Bayern Munich.
Yep.
There were some questionable decisions by the referee,
mm-hmm.
which happens in a lot of matches.
Uh-huh.
Why did Bellingham get so incensed that he said, how can you put a referee who has fixed matches as the referee of this game?
Well, he had a point. I saw the highlights of the game and... I mean, he shouldn't have complaints about the referee, the refereeing decision that was given against him, which is the penalty, because ball to hand these days are just given a spence. But Dortmund had a penalty turned down where it was initially, it looked like a 50-50, but clearly on the replay, it was clear that the attacking player got to the ball first. When it comes to Armand Bellingham, I think...
Wait, before we get to Bellingham, didn't VAR look at that?
Yeah, I did, but I have no clue what happened.
Oh, so there could be a referee foul play. Yeah, but man, go on with your Bellingham story.
No, I mean, that post-match interview or whatever was incredible for him to come out and say these things. Maybe it's the exuberance of youth, or maybe he thought that he was talking in a foreign language in Germany. So maybe all of that could not be picked up. But, you know, what's interesting is that this guy, the story behind Felix Zweier. So, this match-fixing thing that Bellingham referred to happened back in 2005 in their second division, where he was actually the linesman. And the match-fixer was the referee, and he basically gave a cut to both his linesmen to, like, not interfere with his wrong decisions. And
this is a real story.
Yeah. So, but however, this guy and the linesman then grew a conscience and complained to the Bundesliga that this is what happened. We took the money because we were scared or whatever. So yeah, and eventually they banned the referee in question, but this guy was given a 6-month ban as well, which was a secret ban. They didn't give him matches, and this was later revealed by, this was later leaked in the media like 5 years, 6 years later.
Okay, whether Bellingham didn't, like, why he said it or not. Well, this seems like an honest referee who grew a conscience and went, right? So, and he was a linesman. Come on. It seems like a very youthful thing to do, but a very petty thing to say as well.
That's true. Well, I mean, Felix Zweier is also, his day job is a real estate broker. Make of that what you will.
Huh? So he has to be honest.
I mean, in some reasons, these people are considered dodgy.
Dude, not in Germany. But oh God, now that you said the story, it just seems like okay. Like, I think this may have happened. In the for sure, pakka Jude Bellingham didn't know that this guy fixed a match in 2005. Like, because Bellingham was born in like 2004, right?
Yep.
So he's like, So he didn't know. So I'm sure in the dressing room when they were angry,
right,
some Dortmund official would have said this priceless things.
Yeah.
And Bellingham is like, yes, that is the reason. Oh, God, what a mess. I feel so bad for the referee.
Yeah. Because unnecessarily things are being dragged up again. Because we don't know how referees' careers pan out, but there's nothing else that internet throws up about him. So, I think he must have had a decent enough run as a referee for whatever 15 years.
Careers I know of is Andreas Frisk and the Obrevo guy, okay, right? And both of those games were Chelsea versus Barcelona. And I think you and I will wholeheartedly agree, even though it could be proven or not proven, that a lot of referees love Barcelona. So, we know how those careers panned out. But why they panned out that way is, one is because there was a heft of Jose Mourinho for the first one. Mm-hmm. And Frisk had like no way to escape. Mm-hmm. The second one was like the might of Chelsea. But I have a feeling, you were telling me offline that now there's going to be a case against Bellingham.
Yeah, the Bundesliga has already fined him. Whatever, these players make millions, he'll make more money in his life. But apparently there's going to be a criminal case, which is strange.
But what is a criminal case? Like, what is
I think criminal defamation or something. Germany is...
But defamation, by definition, isn't it a civil case?
No, I think Germany, because of shit like Holocaust denial, it has more stringent speech laws than the rest of Europe, I guess.
Wow, so Bellingham is going to be tried under for a law which was created for Holocaust deniers.
I mean the news anchors there are calling him anti-national and whatnot.
Anti-national? He's not German. And why are they calling him anti? What? Where are they learning the terms?
Well, there is this big country in Asia.
Oh, God. So Jude Bellingham is an anti-national German who is being tried a case for Holocaust denial because some stupid linesman took money and came clean in 2005.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, the absurdity. But yeah, I was reading about this game primarily because of Jude Bellingham's outburst. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it seemed like Dortmund were actually done, like, were given the wrong hand of referees. And otherwise, it was quite an even game.
Yeah, it seemed like a very interesting game. It seemed end to end, and unfortunately, a penalty had to settle it, which is not a right decision. According to me, the letter of the law is what it is.
Wow, you are such a statist, as they call it, as the youths call it these days. All right, away from Bellingham to the rigors of Premier League, before we get to other things and how Spurs, basically Conte has given everyone COVID, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about your man, Ralph. What, yeah. Like, I'm already seeing your fan forums, like, what has Ralph changed already at United? Man, what is this impact? In 8 hours, he's changed everything.
I don't know, man. This just seems like a classic new manager bounce where the players want to prove themselves. So they're running harder and closing their men down, and everyone else, the more optimistic fans are like putting it down to philosophy, pressing, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, United were on top of Crystal Palace, but then again, it's Crystal Palace they're playing against. The quality gulf is right there. United had enough players who could dominate the ball, who should have been winning it, because again, Fred and McTominay played. They're principally there to win the ball, and I'm just happy that we got this game out of the way, because Crystal Palace has been a bogey team for United. United have lost a lot of points to this team. So yeah, this is a good follow-up to our other bogey team, Arsenal, which we beat in midweek.
How poetic is it that Fred, the pastor, all people, he scores a great goal. It's not even like some useless goal. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I mean, there's still conspiracy theories that he tried to cross there and somehow...
I have a feeling he tried to cross.
I mean, to be fair to Fred, he takes those attempts. Generally, they end up in row Z. So, I wouldn't...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, if he took the attempt, it would have ended up in row Z.
Maybe. Or maybe it's just mathematics, dude. Like, maybe he mishit it for a change and it went in.
No, I don't think so. Like, Cristiano has not scored a free kick for like some 20 years now. So, it's not mathematics that ek to jayega. It will not go. So, anyway. So, that's a good start for Ralph, and he's hiring some sports. It's like everything he's doing now. He is the German Bielsa. I think... You should just accept that fact now, because now he's hiring a sports psychologist. And they're like, he's revamping the team entirely. He's hired a sports. It's the same aura. The hawa of Bielsa is now on Ryan. No,
it's okay, no? But because he has a low base to work with. I mean, he's replacing American bankers and United youth products who just were there because of their old connections. So,
no, it's not about that. I'm talking about the aura of it. Like, Bielsa was replacing who? No one cares. But, you know, wo ek hawa aa jata hai na, like,
no, that obviously is that. Anyway, it would have happened because Manchester United attracts a lot of media. So, and with positive results in recent times, there'll be a positive upswing to all the news, and he'll be given a lot of credit. And I'm sure he deserves like a reasonable amount of it as well.
Yes. Well, let's talk about a team which doesn't get enough media attention, even though they win like every match. Manchester City. Why? How yeah. does... I have a more philosophical question. They mm-hmm. have like Pep, who is probably like one of the best managers ever. Right? And then they have a club. They keep buying players. But there is never this hawa. Like, you know, Manchester City, we have to talk about it all the time. No one really wants to talk about them. Why?
I think they garnered a lot of attention when Pep first came and he had that 100-point season and all. I guess that story is getting old and boring.
But they garnered that attention because it was Pep versus Jose.
Yeah. Yes. Whatever. I mean, they also 100 points is an incredible feat. And what we were seeing was new in the Premier League. The sheer professionalism and the size of the squad and everything else. Right now, it's just it's a well-run machine, right? Man City is a very well-run club. They even if they have 11 players out, they have 11 players to replace them and do well. So yeah, there's no drama, there's no meltdowns, there's no problems. So they don't make news.
When United had these runs, when Chelsea had these runs, even when Arsenal had, there were enough stories of players and this and that. Is it because City does not have superstars? Like, their biggest superstar is Kevin De Bruyne, who really doesn't say much. So
yeah, their scouting has worked well there, I guess. They have those typical...
You
typical
need PR.
What?
You need PR. Scouting hasn't worked hard enough.
This is what they'll probably learn and now try to get in a couple of problem childs. I mean, because... problem children. Because, I mean, if you go to see when Mario Balotelli was there, they were making a lot of headlines around it. Maybe wrong reasons.
When Balotelli, Tevez was there, there was something going on. This is such a lifeless club it is. Like, it just keeps winning easily. Like, what is the fun?
There's no fun. They have those little 60 million players in a bunch and no superstars, nothing to... Really, I mean, it's okay. They're very sterile.
Yeah, exactly. And talking about sterile players, Bernardo Silva, he's having the time of his life. Dude, where does this come from? Who are these players who keep turning up every alternate season to like do wonders?
Yeah, this is exactly what I was saying. Because last season, it was Gundogan and our man Phil Foden. And I think Ruben Diaz was the signing of the season. This season, it's like a completely different bunch of players who are performing for them. I think this is where having a big squad and good squad management and injury management really has helped City, because they have the best support staff also, I think.
Yeah, they have like some 400 people or something. Some crazy amount.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I knew they were going to beat Watford very easily when I saw Raheem Sterling score. I was like, oh God, even he has scored. So this is like gone to dogs. But, man, that is so bad. And talking about boring clubs, let's talk about a boring manager as well, which is Rafael Benitez. Like, he is probably the most characterless manager who is, like, reasonably successful as well. The most interesting tweet I saw was that Liverpool, 6 games, Champions League, 18 points. And Everton, 18 points, Premier League. So, and there were, like, rumors and murmurs that, you know, Benitez is, like, going to get sacked. But people are not exactly blaming him. And they say that it goes to the top. What do you think is the problem with Everton?
Dude, I genuinely think Everton is like a poor man's Man United. They have terrible owners. They have, United have great legacy. They have reasonably good legacy, like 8 league titles and a bunch of FA Cups. I think they have a European trophy as well. But their policies, I mean, transfer policy is absolutely dreadful. They paid, 40 million for Iwobi. So, they like United, they just end up buying big names like James Rodriguez and a bunch of them without any plan. And they had Ancelotti for a couple of years before that it was Marco Silva. So, they keep doing this chop and change thing because they're bigger than most clubs in England. I think 7 or 8 clubs are maybe richer or bigger than them. They just have the money to throw around. They have a stable revenue stream because of their fan base. And yeah, that's how they function. That's why you don't see them going anywhere.
Yeah. Then, like, I don't think even they... Like, after they threw in, like, 200 million, they were not getting into top 6 also. They're like, God, what do we do? And it's just so crazy. But what are you reading? Is Benitez going to be sagged, not sagged? What's going on there? Dude, you don't have to throw the mic. If you just don't want to answer about Benitez, don't answer.
I think I don't know. I mean, there are of course rumors about him getting sacked. I think they'll wait till the end of the season because they're not in a great position. And teams like West Ham doing well, there's no. I mean, see, last season they started very well under Ancelotti, and people are saying they're going to do big things. This season, there's no such pressure there because Rafa has just started badly. So I think Everton will just go through the motions unless Rafa does so badly, the team does so badly that they're under the threat of relegation or something. Then they'll bring Sam again.
I think the Sam time is gone. There was one thing. Last month, while our great club Newcastle were searching for managers, I think Benitez made a throwaway statement saying that under his new managers, I would have loved to be at Newcastle or something like that. Oh God, that guy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, he has seduced the Geordie faithful in Newcastle. They love him. They chant his name. But I hope our club management does not fall for this trick and
it won't. It's time to talk. The first win.
Yes.
The first win of the season. Yes. Did you see the reaction? You should listen to the commentary of the last 6 minutes. That was the most exciting piece other than the F1 race. I was mind blown. The owners went crazy. Amanda was crazy. Her husband, the showpiece, even he went crazy. Eddie Howe lost it. That was something. Even I don't know who is the commentator, but they did a very good job. And a big weight is lifted, dude. It's done. It's over.
Yes. We are staying up.
No, I don't know if you're staying up, but I think we got the win. But the commentator said one thing. After the past few weeks, we could see this victory coming. They were inching closer towards it. So Eddie Howe is making some real progress with a useless boys.
Yeah, Eddie Howe, I mean, he's a decent manager. I hope to see more progressive, entertaining football at least. And we are just 3 points away from Watford at 17th. I think a couple of string of wins and Newcastle will be safe and then it's party time.
Yeah, but it is amazing how the goal had to come because of a keeper error. Thank God of Callum Wilson, but
Callum scores a lot of goals.
Who did they win against? They won against Burnley, right? Burnley. If I was Sean Dyche, right. I would have come in the post-match and said, we know this keeper. He's fixed matches before. He's like, what? Yeah, but it's going. I'm quite excited. You know what? As in when, with every week passing by, I'm actually quite getting into the Geordie spirit of things. And within like a year and a half, I think Newcastle will be my choice of support. Damn. Like completely. And they're crazy. Those fans are mad. They are not even joking. You know about the rumor, no, on why they think Ronaldinho didn't sign for Newcastle United.
Because it's cold up there?
No. He was seduced by money of Barcelona. No, that is an actual Geordie fan belief. That Ronaldinho was supposed to come to Newcastle, but he was seduced by the big money offer of Barcelona. And that is why he went. Otherwise, he was like all set to join the revolution.
It will be
amazing to work with that fan base. But having said all that, let's get back to Everton. They beat Arsenal 2-1. And Arsenal lost the previous match.
Yes. The Arteta revolution has hit a few speed bumps. And what's worse is that Rick Carlson could have had a hat-trick. He had two goals disallowed for like, you know, a hair's breadth offside calls, right? So, I mean, in yesteryears without VAR, these are not given. I mean, Arsenal played quite badly. They were in for a thrashing in that game.
Yeah, and you know what's also worse? That Richarlison gave his first interview in English after the game. And I think there was some official channel which said, Richarlison's first interview in English. He said, I am learning. Thanks for the patience. Oh God. It's happy Everton is also not very nice. It's so cringeworthy. But the revolution, you think now the entire media's spotlight, since Ole is gone, will now fall on the broad shoulders of Arteta, and he is the next man to be under immense pressure.
Yeah, that's obviously there because while this Ole drama was going on, Arsenal were quietly winning games. I mean, although the opponents they were facing were not of the highest caliber. But yeah, I mean, in the sack race, he's the prime candidate, I think, among the top six to next get the sack. So, yeah.
And let's talk a little about Tottenham. Conte has given everyone COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some 8 players. I think Conte, in the press conference today for the Conference League, said that we were training with 11 fellows and now we find out one fellow of the 11 has COVID. So,
right.
But there's like this thing that the Conference League game will go ahead today, but on Sunday they are asking for the postponement of their match against Brighton or something. How can one, like, what has happened in this club? That one club has all the COVID cases.
Yes, I mean, it could be sabotage.
No, it's too late in the night to talk about sabotage. But dude, COVID is rearing its head. And I know for a fact that Roma also had like 3-4 players who had COVID. And do you think that with this Omnivore or whatever, this thing, Omnicon, what is it called?
That now with your mispronunciation, I forgot the right pronunciation.
Yeah, so with this virus, you think that it will be stopped somewhere or fans will again?
I don't know. I mean, I just, before coming on the podcast, read a tweet by Dr. Yusuf, which said that there have been 0 deaths due to Omicron, and it's the Delta variant that is still leading this league table.
India rocks.
So yeah, I mean, no, not even in South Africa where it was discovered, but... Given the last 2 years, we don't know what panic decision our leaders will take. But although in England, Boris has no problems even partying, keeping a party attendance.
Let's set the record straight. They have come out with a statement saying that the Prime Minister did not attend the Christmas party.
But yeah, whatever. If the numbers, if the fatalities remain low. I hope the Premier League does not go under.
How many more times do you think Mourinho has to persuade Shaka to take the vaccine?
What? Oh, he's an anti-vaxxer.
Oh, you don't know this?
No, I don't know this story.
So, Shaka is like not a big believer in vaccines, to say the least. And when he went for his national team duty, there was a bit of a controversy. Right. And he posted something on Instagram. And Mourinho comments saying that, get jabbed and take care, Shaka. And he's like, thank you, mister, and all of that. So so basically, Mo was trying to tell this guy, dude, just like take the stupid vaccine, and the denier that he is. He didn't even listen to Mourinho. So why will he listen to like Arteta?
First world problems these kids have.
Why? How are these first world problems?
No, but vaccines are there in abundance, right? In like, dude, other countries like ours.
They're in abundance even in South Africa. So South Africa has this excess stock of vaccines, but there is this huge, people who don't want to
take hesitancy.
Hesitancy to take vaccine. And I'm sure in India, we are such pliant people. Yeah. The government asks us to take anything we will. So I don't think that's a problem in India. Anyway, we should take a break right now. Yeah. After the break, do you have a player of the week in mind for you?
I'll think of someone.
All right. Okay. Stay tuned to Football Twaddle. Welcome back to Football Twaddle. Let's get straight into it. Which player has impressed you the most?
Oh, to be honest, I think Haaland. I mean, the goals he scored and just his hold-up play in the highlights that I've watched, he seems like a handful. And he's just returning from injury. I think over the weekend, his performance was incredible.
Dude, Haaland is such a tailor-made striker. Like, he seems like he's been molded from the age of 3 to become this ideal striker who everyone wants.
And he's so weird. He moves so different to like the big hefty people that we know. But I think maybe this is the future. If you see in NBA, if you watch the old clips of NBA, it's a very different game. It's very similar to how we play in India. But what we see after the 80s, simply because it was just tall, big guys, the game completely changed. So maybe 20 years into the future, we'll have at least half the football team filled with Haaland-sized players just making the pitch look so small.
So there'll be half Haalands and half like
Contes.
Dwarfs who have a low center of gravity.
Yeah. Contes.
Yeah, exactly. So the team will be like half Haalands and half Contes. Yeah. But don't you think that there's something, I don't know, I can't put my finger to it, but there is something so weird about him and he's so good, but he just doesn't seem like a regular childhood behavior for
him. He doesn't. He literally looks like, I mean, this joke has been made several times. He literally looks like Ivan Drago from Rocky IV. And he should be boxing and not playing this sport where you need agility and nimbleness, especially if you're a striker.
Okay. I wanted to say Bernardo Silva, but I am not going to say Bernardo Silva. Then, even though he played really well, then I wanted to say Patrick Bamford, because he gave our man Bielsa like a lifeline with a 2-2 victory so that the sporting director could abuse a fan from the stand. But I'm going to stick to home. Callum Wilson, man. Callum Wilson. That guy. Oh, God. You did not watch the game with me, but after that victory, when I did, yes! Like a Newcastle fan. I was like, come on.
Yeah, so, he kept us up last season and enabled us to go through this transformation.
He's so good. I hope even Haaland, he just stays at Dortmund for like at least 2-3 more years. I don't want him to go anywhere. I think Dortmund is a team we all want to watch and just like enjoy, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So even Bellingham should stay there. I'm so pissed off that your club took like Sancho, and Sancho, the greedy fellow that he is, like went for like big salary. He should have just stayed back, and no one's playing for the fun of the game, Yash, anymore.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Whatever.
We need some greed to make it fun.
All right. Tottenham, did you see Lucas Moura's first goal?
Was it incredible?
It was quite good. You're not even bothered. Antonio Conte is like fifth in the table. People are saying that he will like finish in top four.
I think that's a real possibility, but I'm waiting for them to sort of pick up steam. They just are going through their whatever.
You know, it was a real possibility under Nuno as well. It was not really far off from the realm.
Yeah. After the first three games, it seemed like they're going to do something, but whatever. It just didn't pan out that way.
Alright, what are the games you're going to watch this weekend?
Oh, this weekend, there are a bunch of interesting games.
Your club, Manchester United, has an easy game against Norwich. Yeah. Like,
so even though
I think a Cristiano hat-trick is incoming.
I think Arsenal-Southampton will be a good game.
Why?
After this weekend, I enjoyed AFTB again after a long, long time because of good reactions. Otherwise, they were getting a bit cocky and complacent. Now is when they bought out the A game, and of course, Raf Hasanuddin has become popular because Ragnik has also come because he's a disciple and everything. Southampton are a decent team.
AFTV saying?
So they flipped again, right? After losing two games, that Arteta is a clown, he doesn't know, blah, blah.
Man, is it the sign of times or were fans always like this?
I think this is a sign of times. This is the Twitter age, Instagram age.
No, forget Twitter. Like, let's say, I don't know. Let's say early 2000s fans who went to the stadium or watched on TV. Do you think that after watching the game, after every game, they're like, he's a clown, he should be fired. And like after next game.
No, I don't think so. This is a modern phenomenon. I've seen at least the fans around me passionately support whoever their manager was, no matter how badly he was doing. I mean, in Rafa's last season at Liverpool, he did so badly, but I don't remember Liverpool fans really calling for his head.
Yeah, but that you had to give it to Liverpool fans. I think other than Roy Hodgson, who they have a special hatred because he probably was a Nazi believer. But other than that, Liverpool fans generally really don't turn on manager. Even Brendan Rodgers last, though, they were just murmurs of it. That's it. So that is a special Liverpool case, I would say. You can't generalize that. But I don't know. I hate this thing of wanting the manager to be sacked every 2 weeks. Like, what's the point, dude? It will get so boring. Anyway, so Arsenal versus Southampton. I would watch, let me just get back to my former club and say Chelsea versus Leeds. Because after the demoralizing victory of West Ham United, where David Moyes pulled one. Dude, you should have heard the commentary in that, okay? First 35 minutes, 40 minutes. West Ham have to be in the game. They just have to be in the game. This is not going their way. This and that and all of that, everything. And suddenly, like, West Ham have been 3-2. So.
But I don't know. That's classic Moyes, right? I mean, since his Everton days, he's been pulling out these results where his team is really not up to the mark and not matching the other team for quality. But they just come through. And he has, I mean, among all his players, Declan Rice is one player in the middle of the park who's just absolutely world-class. He's brilliant.
No, I think
they're very good in that game.
They have some really good players. I think I like Zuma because he's ex-Chelsea. But I think Zuma is a decent defender. There's Lanzini as well.
Suchek.
Suchek. I saw ESPN's top 10 central defenders of last year. And Thomas Suchek was number 10. Yeah. But I think Chelsea have to win. They're already third in the table now. And the way City and Liverpool are going, it is a little scary. And Chelsea has to do something about this. So, I think Leeds game comes at a good time where there's no midfield. So, they can primarily run and at least score 3 and 4 goals. So, So I'm going to watch Chelsea versus Leeds. But, let's talk a little about the table before we go. So, Chelsea 33, Liverpool 34, Manchester City 35.
They're putting some distance between the rest of the.
That's okay. Pack. But who do you think among these three are going to like eventually win the league? I always say Chelsea.
No, I hope out of all of these, I hope Chelsea. But I think Manchester City look relentless. And I don't know. This is Pep is sort of coming towards the end of his tenure and all. So he would want to pick up as much silverware. Plus, they have a few. Kids also who are coming through, so they're really stacked in all positions. Apart from striker, they don't need a striker. So, Man City is the team that seems like they can go on a run of like 10 games, win 10 games.
Yeah, talking about City, we said it's such a sterile team and everything, but dude, they seem so relentless. One of the reasons why we don't want to talk so much about them is that this is so easy for them. They make it seem so easy. It's kind of scary on.
They lose at times because of individual errors. You can't fault much else about them, right? They come up against great players like maybe Salah or whoever else. Or they come up against a team who just defends well and they end up making stupid mistakes at the back. But you can't point to like specific things about, you know, various areas or any area of the pitch where they are like lacking.
Yeah, I'm just looking at their defense. Kyle Walker, Ruben Dias, Emerick Laporte and Juan Cancelo. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. And people have been talking about, you know, how Chelsea's defense is so mean and everything. I actually looked at the table and, you know, City has conceded only 9 goals this season. And Chelsea, because of West Ham, has conceded 12. And I thought back because there was a talk, I think a month ago, on whether Tuchel's team will beat Jose's record of 15 goals conceded.
Oh, no.
that ain't happening now. But I don't think City, but you think of it, dude. 15 goals conceded that season. What was that team then?
I mean, that was incredible, but I don't know. Football was different back then.
No, it's not about different or something. It's just so hard to imagine that you just conceded 15 goals.
Yeah, it is. It is difficult to. But Mourinho played that style, right? There were a number of 1-0 games in there. City are not going to play like that. They'll Cancelo, Walker, whoever their fullbacks are going to attack and be in the opposition half, and they're going to try to outscore the team even if they end up conceding.
Yeah, and why is no one from Liverpool getting injured or anything? Like, what is this? Why are they being relentless?
Because they had that one season last season where after two relentless seasons, their team just broke down. Now they've been rested and rebooted, I think.
Yeah, it is so tough. And that is why, I mean, even for Manchester United or Newcastle United per se, it is going to be so hard. So, the only way hope we have as Newcastle fans is that Klopp and Pep are going to get out of their clubs very, very soon.
Yeah, we can always hope that. Let's hope Real and Barcelona become like strong again. Or even AC Milan, Juventus and, you know, the classical European giants become strong again. They get money from somewhere and end up attracting these guys.
No. Talking about money, the last thing, there was some list of the richest clubs or the most earning clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the in the top 20, I think there's only one Italian club.
Oh man, that is surprising. I mean, I knew that the Premier League would dominate, but wow, that's an incredible stat.
So, I mean, you'd obviously take out Real, Barcelona, PSG, and probably Atletico, Bayern, I'm not too sure, and Bayern, and maybe Dortmund. Rest, and then that's 13 are Premier League clubs, and there's like one Italian. So, money talks so much in Premier League, it's just...
Yeah, that's true. But I'm sure it's very difficult for that 10th or 13th Premier League team to do anything with that in the league per se.
Yeah, correct. No, like that's the classic Everton problem. They're like the 8th richest club. Who cares? All right. Okay, yes. Take care, man.
Good night.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.